We interrupt our regularly scheduled program for this special presentation of Inter Miami Soccer on ESPN 106.3. The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Goal de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Ho, folks, it is football time. Obviously, we're in our midseason stride within the MLS and our Inter Miami Herons in the bulk of an MLS schedule. They are in the quarterfinals of the League's Cup. They're going to be taking on Tigres. We'll break that down because it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one. But welcome on in, folks, to Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter Miami, everything football on ESPN 106.3. The last time our Herons were on the field, didn't go too well. And Damian Perez, my fellow co-host and my producer here on the program, Dame, I never want to see Orlando again. Oh, Riz, you're kidding. No. Like, please keep Orlando City away from Inter Miami because things don't go well when we play that team.
Yeah, absolutely. How's it going, Mike? It seems like Orlando City has got our number, like you mentioned.
Got our number. They got the landline. Who's old enough that's listening that remembers the damn landline that we used to call before everyone had cell phones? They got the keys to the castle, Dame. I mean, this is a rival.
To your point, 7-1 is the head-to-head this season with Orlando City, including the 4-1 loss and the 3-0 loss at home at the Chase Stadium. So it's a team that at this point I feel like a lot of people are having nightmares about, and pray to God we don't see them in the playoffs.
I mean, with Muriel and Ojeda, I mean, those two were in my numbers. Damn, it was an 8 o'clock start. So open up the curtain a bit. It was an 8 o'clock start on Saturday. Usually 7. So like Dame starts his pregame at 6. I'm usually like 6:30. Dude, it was a late one. We were here till about 11 at night. And I remember I looked at Damian before I left. I said, dude, Martin Ojeda and Luis Muriel are going to be in my nightmares. Right? Luis Muriel, the striker for Orlando City. And Martin Ojeda, he was actually, Dame, playing a 10. Usually they do two up top, but he was playing a 10. He was playing a central attacking midfielder that game, which was a little confusing. But listen, it worked because usually you see him playing that dual strike partnership with Luis Muriel like they did in Chase Stadium back on May the 18th. But, man, and we sent Elias up there, you know, on the Deporte side. We sent Fernando. We sent Leo. We sent the whole Spanish broadcast up there. And, golly, that did not go well. But while we're talking about the game, let's catch you up on the game. A little Messi mania. By the way, Lionel Messi did not play in the game. I'll let you know when I think Lionel Messi is going to come back when we hit the injury report. But it is time to do a little Messi mania presented by your great friends at PNC.
It's time for a little Messi mania on Pink Smoke, presented by PNC Bank. The latest match results, highlights, and everything Messi starts now. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Learn more at PNC.com. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC.
Putting one behind the keeper takes more than talent. Sure, the pros make it look easy, but there's a whole lot of boring work behind it. Hours of drills, scrimmages, and dedication to the craft that ultimately pay off in a brilliant goal-scoring move. PNC Bank knows that it's the same with money. That's why they take a smart, steady, and, well, boring approach. So you can make brilliant money moves that help you score your own goals. And PNC Bank makes it easy and convenient to manage your money when and where it works for you, including with new branch locations opening across Miami. See how keeping your money boring can be the brilliant move for you. Visit PNC.com/brilliantlyboring. PNC Bank, proud banking sponsor of Inter Miami CF radio broadcasts and Brilliantly Boring since 1865. The PNC Financial Services Group, Inc., all rights reserved, member FDIC.
Remember, folks, Messy Mania, presented by our good friends at PNC, where we talk everything Inter Miami, everything Messi related. Let's update you on the Messi related things. He did not play in the last fixture. He's still dealing with that right hamstring injury that he suffered against Necaxa in the 7th minute. It's been about that 2.5 week window where we thought, you know, the amount of time it would take to heal the injury. I still think more about 3. And Tigres is when I think he'll return, Dame. Tigres, which is the quarterfinal game in League's Cup. Quarterfinal game in League's Cup. And it's win or go home. There's no, it's not double, it's not, oh, you play here, we play there. We're playing at Chase Stadium, Damian, and that's going to be for all the marbles. So I think Messi returns there. I think that's going to be his 3 weeks back, and I think that's when you should expect to see Lionel Messi back in pink.
So no minutes against LAFC this coming Saturday at Chase Stadium.
No, I think it's funny because what did we say about the CONCACAF Gold Cup? We said it's all about that during that competition. After the CONCACAF Gold Cup, we went, it's all about the FIFA Club World Cup, and it was. Damian, I don't think the Shield is a big deal for Inter Miami. Would you agree?
Yeah,
it last year, had the most points in league history last year. I think Inter Miami just wants to finish top four. And as long as they finish top four, they're going to get a home. Their first game's going to be home playoff games. I go back to what happened last year in the MLS playoffs where they had all of that, the number one seed, a bye, and then losing to Atlanta. So, like, I think League's Cup is the big thing that they're all focusing on right now. And I think it means a little bit more to Messi to play well against these Mexican teams right now than a team like LAFC in the middle of the MLS schedule. That's my 2 cents.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just mentioned it. I mean, the thing, we saw what happened last year. We won the Supporters Shields. We had the best regular season team in the history of the MLS. But when it came to the playoffs, we weren't 100% physically. And I feel like that's the priority. That's the important part. The thing with the MLS is that you can kind of manage it, right? As long as you're in that playoff position, you can kind of choose which games are priorities. I mean, we're playing against LA Galaxy, who did not have the best start to the season, but as of lately has kind of turned things around and are looking better.
And they're in League's Cup. They're in a quarterfinal game in the League's Cup. So is Orlando City. That's why I joked around earlier in the show, Damian, let's hope we never see this team. Fact of the matter is, if Inter Miami makes it to the final and Orlando City wins out, it's going to be because they're on opposite sides. Orlando City's on one side, Inter Miami's on the other. Now, the good news is the Herons have home field. I'd have to go back and double-check if Orlando City does. Damn, I'll let you do that as I explain with what happened in this horrible fixture where our Herons lost 4-1. But regardless, I don't want to see that team. I'm hoping they lose to a Mexican team and or LAFC, the other MLS team on
Orlando
the other
City,
side.
Orlando City's actually out of League's Cup. They were in 5th place, so they were one slot away from the top four. Yep.
Just happen?
No,
who are the four who are the four MLS teams left? I thought they were playing Toluca.
The four MLS teams.
Weren't they supposed to be playing Toluca?
Correct. I'm actually mistaken. Sorry. Okay. I was looking at another.
No, you're good. Yeah.
Actually fourth. You're right. Seattle, Inter Miami, LA Galaxy, in Orlando in that order.
They're playing Toluca, correct. But the game is in Mexico, right?
No.
It's in the MLS.
I will confirm that
now. I don't want it. The big picture on this, folks, I don't want to see that team. There's still one of the MLS teams in League's Cup left in the quarterfinal round. I do not want to see them because I had the highlights queued up, but I'm not queuing up Luis Muriel and Martin Ojeda, you know, running all over us. So Muriel scored twice in the game. He scored in the 2nd minute, scored in the 50th minute. He has 8 MLS goals on the year. 3 of them have come against the Herons. Friggin' half of this guy's goals have came from Inter Miami. Can I never see them again? And then Martin Ojeda also has 2 goals against Inter Miami on the year. Now, he has about 15 goals on the year. But regardless, this is a team that's been playing well against our favorite soccer team in Miami.
Toluca versus Orlando, you're right. It's not in Orlando, but it's still in the United States. It will be played at Dignity Health Sports Park in L.A., which is actually where the L.A. Galaxy play their games. Very strange, but
very much so, and that makes me wonder. That makes me want to double check that Inter Miami Leagues Cup quarterfinal is actually in Chase Stadium. Is it? That's something we got to find out, Dane, because they are listed as the home team, and Inter Miami's had 3 straight home games in Leagues Cup. So when I saw them as a home team, I could only assume that they would be at Chase Stadium, but that makes me think that it's going to be at a neutral site because these are officially knockout stage games. If we remember phase one, 18 MLS teams.
Chase Stadium, Mike.
It's Chase Stadium.
Yep.
Okay, which is so doggone odd that that game wouldn't be in Toluca. But regardless, let's make sure Orlando City, we don't see them in the League's Cup final because it's going to be a long, long game, I feel like. And Messi might be back, but Dame, Messi was at the game when we lost 3-0 at Chase Stadium. So, but Muriel, Ojeda, and Pasalic are the four goals that got in for Orlando City. Yannick Bright was the lone goal that Inter Miami had on the game. And it was a hell of a goal, though, Dame.
Great goal.
I mean, Yannick Bright's goal of his career, I think we could all agree on that. He kind of hit it like a pass. I have a saying, my buddies and I have a saying in soccer, all sports, oh, look what I found. Mm-hmm. It was one of those shots. It was a one-timer where Yannick Bright goes, oh, look what I found, and he blasted it in net for one of his, arguably his best goal of his career. But it was 1-1 at halftime, and three out of the four goals for Orlando City came in the second half, the 50th minute, the 58th minute, and the 88th minute. And that's really all I want to do, spending time talking about that game, because it's a waste of time. As I said, Inter Miami outplayed through and through. And Dame, Ken Levick of the voice of the Inter Miami Herons and I, we both agreed. No ifs, ands, or buts. Orlando City was the better team in both fixtures that happened in the Florida Derby this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's a doubt about that. I mean, from the start, it felt like Inter Miami really didn't seem comfortable on the field. And like you said, Orlando City just dominated. After they got the first goal, it was kind of close that first half, but the second half, Orlando City just absolutely dominated, took over. There was really only one team on the field at the Chase Stadium.
Now, we've heard rumor, nothing official yet, Dame, but pretty sure that Drake Callender's going to Charlotte.
Yep, it's like 95%
pretty,
confirmed.
Pretty sure that Drake Callender is heading on over to Charlotte. Surprising to me, would you say? I think it's surprising in the sense of they would send him to a rival. Now, we could sit here and talk about if Charlotte is a bitter rival of Inter Miami. Regardless, it's a team on the Eastern Conference table who has great quality players like Wilfred Zaha, Tim Ream, longtime United States men's national player. So I'm a bit surprised that Charlotte is the destination that Drake Callender ends up with. And Callender, man, I know he was the odd man. And by the way, Drake Callender, goalkeeper for Inter Miami, was the goalkeeper for the last couple of years, last 2 years here as Messi. You know, Messi's been here for about, what, a year and a half-ish? So, like, since Messi came to Inter Miami, Drake Callender was the keeper besides this year and Oscar Ustari. But I'm surprised they sent him to an Eastern Conference.
Yeah, but
team.
I'll tell
Very
you what,
surprised.
Mike. I'm surprised in a sense because it is an Eastern Conference rival, but I would be shocked if Callender gets minutes this season because Charlotte's goalkeeper, Christian Kalina, sorry, that's a hard name to pronounce.
Yep.
Is actually the reigning goalkeeper of the year. So it's a very it's a weird situation. I feel like this is one situation where, being the radio of Inter Miami, we can admit, I don't know if the team handled this situation with Callender. I don't know if he got what he deserved. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did he even play a minute this season?
He did. He played. Remember, I think he played when we went to penalties.
I don't think he played at all because he started the season hurt.
Let's put it this way. I definitely remember him starting a game. He 100% started a game this year. I'm in the article right now. I'll let you know what I end up finding.
Nonetheless, it's a very strange situation. And I know when the season started, that was one of the talking points. What is this situation with Callender? I'm actually surprised it took this long for Inter Miami to deal him.
Well, he also has been injured. He's been dealing with a sports hernia. I think maybe that has a little bit to do with it. Dame, he's appeared in three matches this year. So he has played in games, but to your credit, very forgettable. I mean, Callender, he was the go-to man. This is a player who's played in 118 matches for Inter Miami. He joined in 2020, and he's played in 118 matches.
He was one of the bright spots from last year. I remember last year, when you look at the season that Inter Miami had last year, one of the key components as to why it was such a successful season, it was Callender. I think the performance he put on last year, he was a very secure goalkeeper. Now, he wasn't always the best with his feet, which is something I feel like Mascherano kind of prioritizes with Ustari. But I feel like he was a great safety net for Inter Miami and something that we relied to time and time again last year with a defense that created a lot of mistakes last year.
So he, Damian, full 90 against FC Dallas. Remember the Herons were up, what, 3-1? They were up 3-1 on Dallas and ended up losing 4-3 at Chase Stadium. And this was a couple of games before the FIFA Club World Cup because they lost to FC Dallas. They lost to Vancouver. And everyone was like, all right, what the hell is going on here? You know, Mascherano's losing control. Is he even going to be around after the FIFA Club World Cup? And certainly they put on a display. They beat Philadelphia. They drew Philadelphia and had good results heading into the FIFA Club World Cup. So that FC Dallas game, it is one of the games that he played. And then Toronto, he played the full 90. So only two times this year he played the full 90, once against Toronto and once against Dallas. They did not win with Drake Callender in keep this year so far. Now, Damian, another transfer that we got to catch everyone up to speed on is Frederico Redondo. And you pointed this out to me. I actually missed this. He's going to be playing in Spain?
Yeah.
He's going to be playing. Elche. So he's going to be playing for a Spanish team. I think it's one of those things where Redondo is a solid player, but with Rodrigo De Paul on the roster, Dame, mm-hmm. kind of playing the similar, same-ish-esque position, there's nowhere for him to go.
Totally.
So I like the move, number one, because I like looking out for the player, too. Redondo's young. He needs minutes. He's going to play at the Spanish side, and it also gives him an opportunity. I mean, Damien, let's put ourselves in Redondo's shoes. He's probably doing backflips. He's going to La Liga.
Absolutely. I mean, as a young player, because he's relatively young to be in the MLS compared to other players, so for a player of his age to get an opportunity in Spain in the first flight of La Liga, for somebody who we can argue has not had the best season with Inter Miami this year, like you said, he's got to be jumping up in joy. The only thing I will say about this transaction is that we did buy him for $8 million and only sold him for $2.5 million. So looking at it from a books perspective, it wasn't the best deal. But like you said, I don't think he has a spot on this team with Rodrigo De Paul incoming, as well as I think Yannick Bright and Kramaski are ahead of him in the pecking order.
And the good news is, Dame, Inter Miami got a hell of a lot of money from the FIFA Club World Cup. They got money from the Gold Cup going all the way to the semifinals. And if they win Leagues Cup too, I mean, that's they got to win. We're only at the quarterfinal stage. But they've certainly been able.
They should be the favorites.
They've been able to get an influx of cash from competitions. Playing well in competitions and going deep into competitions. What was it? They got like 30 million quid from the FIFA Club World Cup. So like, dude, that's a considerable amount. A lot of it got spent on Rodrigo De Paul. I understand that. But it's still a lot of quid, Dame. It's still a lot of quid to get from one tournament.
And that's cash we weren't expecting. You know, going into the Club World Cup, we didn't expect Inter Miami to kind of perform the way they did, beating Porto, becoming the first team in the CONCACAF / MLS to beat a European team in an official FIFA tournament. So it's kind of like we were granted that money with no expectation.
Yeah, I really do think that they became the first MLS side to beat a UEFA club team. There's something to be said about that. Porto stinks. I think we found that out. Porto is bad, but Inter Miami lost to PSG, and everybody lost to PSG up until Chelsea surprised everybody in that competition and won the FIFA Club World Cup in the States this year. But that's kind of the big news. Once again, we appreciate our great partners.
Before we move on from this Messi Mania segment, it was reported that Messi did train with the group. Now, will he get minutes on Saturday? That was not reported, but he was back at training and he did train with the group.
I want to see Messi play every single game for the Herons. I don't think he should play, though.
I agree.
I don't think he should play
especially
against the Galaxy.
Especially a team against LA Galaxy.
It's at home,
mentioned,
too.
And you mentioned it. They have Leagues Cup as well, so they have that midweek game. And being that they're dead last in the Western Conference standings, how much value will they give this game, assuming that if you're LA Galaxy, you're looking at putting all your eggs in one basket and winning the Leagues Cup if you can this year?
Definitely. Damian, I think both of these teams, you might be seeing a couple of lineups that will have a couple of reserve players in them.
And I think more for LA Galaxy than Inter Miami. Because I still think the priority for Inter Miami
will play.
is MLS.
DePaul will play. Busquets will play. Suarez will play.
DePaul was absent from practice today due to personal reasons. but it's expected he'll be fully ready to go on Saturday.
So, yeah, I do think Inter Miami will put a strong lineup out there, but without Messi. I think it's going to be more of the same of the cast members that are going to be there with Messi, but just with no Messi. It wouldn't make sense. The Tigres game is when you bring him back. So, Dame, he went down August 2nd. He went down August 2nd against Necaxa, where Inter Miami went through in penalties in their second of three Leagues Cup Phase 1 games. It'd be a full 18 days. It'd be a full 18 days. That's closer to 3 weeks than not. That's 2.5 weeks, right?
Yeah.
I think it's perfect timing.
What I can see, though, I agree with you. I think it would be the smart decision to rest him against LA Galaxy. But I think we will see at least 20 minutes from Messi.
Really? You think he steps on? I think he's in the box with his wife and kids not playing.
If he trained today normal with the group, I think they're preparing to at least play him 20, 25 minutes as part of his recovery, looking into the game against Tigres.
And by the way, folks, Damian Perez, former soccer player, played at the college level, knows the game a lot. I assume he'll be in the box. I don't think there's a reason for him to. He's got a lot of minutes. Remember, Everyone's on Mascherano. What is it, Dame? He's played 24 times, eight times this year. No, excuse me. He's played 80 minutes or more 24 times.
He's played nine since the Club World Cup. He's played 90 in every single Inter Miami game.
So I think Mascherano is hearing that riffraff a bit. If I had to guess, he doesn't play here and he's full go for Tigres. And I heard before the Orlando game that he was practicing but on his own.
Yep. It was like recovery.
We'll have to wait and see if Lionel Messi will be playing against the LA Galaxy. 7:30, by the way. That's August 16th at 7:30. I will have the pregame coming up at 7 o'clock. That is a Saturday game. I will be live with your Inter Miami pregame show on your Inter Miami Radio Network coming up at 7. Damian Perez on the Spanish side, 760 AM Deportes, will be live at 6:30. And then also, we're on YouTube. So the Spanish side has their YouTube stream, and our English side has the YouTube stream. So make sure you watch accordingly. If you're a Spanish speaker, we want you on the Spanish side.
As well as on the app. The app
exactly.
is also a great resource.
And so make sure you check out the app. But if you're a Spanish speaker, we want you on the Spanish stream. If you're an English speaker, we want you on the English stream. So keep that in mind as we got you both covered.
Elias Bustamante will actually be on the call this weekend.
So no Fernando this weekend. We will have Elias on the call. Elias, listen, I got to call both of you out. You guys could have just told me you don't like my fantasy Premier League team. You could have just told me.
No, I think you got a good team. I think you
sugarcoat. It's okay.
I think Salah is the second pick is a steal. I thought he would be the first pick unanimously. And then you got Mbono. Now, there are question marks. I think Robertson, like I told you, I think his time will be split with Kirkez. I actually see Kirkez beating out Robertson and owning that left back spot. But other than that, Estevauza, like you said, that's a long shot. But if it works out for you, I mean, those are two players that are extremely electric, especially Estevao.
So, folks, the Premier League starts Friday. For those of you that don't know what that is, it in my opinion, it's the best soccer league in the world. Damian would argue La Liga, but I remind Damian that there are two teams in La Liga and a whole lot of nothing else.
The Premier League is the best football league, but the better teams are in La Liga.
Disagree. But we could argue that fact at another time. I did my fantasy Premier League draft, and I showed Damian and I showed Elias, my two soccer guys here at ESPN 106.3 and 760 AM Deportes. We are our soccer heads, football heads, as we like to call it, soccer to you lot. But those are my two football heads, and they gave me the runaround. I mean, did you not just hear Damian give me the runaround about my squad? He's telling me about Robertson. Dame, I got news for you. Kirkez, he stunk in that game that they lost in penalty. The Community Shield. He stunk in that Community Shield. There are Liverpool pundits blowing that guy up. Robertson's getting his job back.
No, I actually had Kirkez last year in fantasy. Man, as a left back.
Bournemouth?
He gets up there. He gets a lot of assists. He's a great crosser of the ball. So for fantasy perspective, I think he has a lot of upside.
Now, Frimpong. I have Frimpong
on
the
great
back
pick.
Line. He was one of the first defenders taken. You know how these drafts work. Folks, if you play fantasy football, American football, the running backs get taken ungodly early because there's not a lot of them. It's the same thing in football with the strikers. Mm-hmm. And Howland went number one. My brother took Howland one, which, you know, he said he didn't want to deal with Salah and the AFCON tournament coming up. By the way, AFCON is the African Nations Cup, and it happens every 2 years. And the last time Mohamed Salah played in it, he got injured, and he was unavailable after that. I have three players are going to be playing in AFCON this year, and Salah and Bwomo and Wissa. But
you better hope you get off to a fast start.
Oh, thanks, Dame.
To that point.
Thanks, Dame. But Chris Wood and Damian, I picked up Joel Piero, the striker for Leeds, who I think could have a sneaky good season and bag a couple of goals for Leeds United. With Prem starting, Dame, for the last, I look back, bud, I think the last 3 years in the Prem, we've had teams come up and go right back down. Do you think, my brother told me he thinks two teams stay up this year in Leeds and Sunderland. I'm not buying it.
Those are two teams who have been in the top flight for, what, the past 5 years. I feel like they've been in. They're a regular team, so they know how to play in that first division. But to your point, I think it's very tough as a team that comes up to kind of stay in the first division.
It's because here's the issue. Money is such a thing in football. Like, Dame, a lot of these teams don't have money, and they don't have the assets to go out and get players. So what happens is they come up, and then all their good players
get
bought. Yeah, all their good players get bought, and all these owners make a buck. You can't necessarily blame them. It's more like baseball. There's not a salary cap, and spare me on financial fair play. I'm starting to think it doesn't even exist. All right, with how Chelsea maneuvers. Liverpool bought everybody this year, by the way. He spent over £200 million in the transfer market between Frimpong, Vertz, Ekitike. I always pronounce that wrong.
Kirkez.
I mean, they spent over $200 million. You want to know what my Liverpool buddies told me? Well, we sold the last four windows. All right, well, what the hell does that have to do with financial fair play? Oh, because we're selling more players. We're making a profit on the players that we sell. It's the most confusing thing ever. It's the most confusing thing ever, financial fair play, and I'm starting to think it doesn't exist. But with these teams that come up, so the three new teams that are up are Sunderland, Liverpool, and Burnley.
Not Liverpool.
Leeds.
Leeds.
Sunderland, Leeds, getting my L's mixed up, and Burnley. Burnley is J.J. Watt's team, and they were up 2 years ago. So they went down, and then last year, they were one of the top three teams in the championship, and now they're back up. These are how these things work. My brother, Joe, soccer head like myself, football head as we say, he thinks Wolves and West Ham are probably the two teams that are out.
Wow.
It's surprising because I think Wolves, they got Strand Larson. They got...
They did sell off, though.
Well, they sold Cunha.
They got rid of Cunha, who was basically the heart
of
the
team. He was their midfield. Mm-hmm. Cunha was their midfield. Let's hope that he could do something for my Manchester United Red Devils. But I don't... I'm not sold on it, Dame. Burnley, as I call it, burn it to the ground, Lee. Leeds, Mickey Mouse United, and I don't have a nickname for Sunderland. They've been down for so long.
So
that
his
I
take
can't
is that
them.
Two of the freshly promoted teams will
gonna
actually remain.
They're going to stay up, and he thinks it's going to be Leeds.
Very bold.
Leeds and Sunderland. I'm not buying it. He said the same thing about Luton, by the way. Luton is in League One, by the way. They got relegated from the Prem, and then the year after, they sold off, and they got relegated from the Championship. They're in League One. How about that? One of these teams are staying up. They can't even keep the lights on.
Have you seen that team stadium? It's like in between.
It's in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's like in between a residence.
So, Damian, we have a city in Northeast Ohio. I'm from Strongsville, by the way, Cleveland, but Strongsville, Ohio, 15 minutes south of Cleveland. There's a stadium in Parma, Ohio, called Byers Field, it's basically in the backyard of it's where the big time high school games were played. Like, say we had in the area, we had a big playoff game, go to Byers Field, play under the lights. But it was in a neighborhood. That's where Luton played. They played at Byers Field, Parma Heights.
You can walk out to your balcony and just witness the football game.
League One. They're not witnessing good football as of late because they are in League One this year. How about Wrexham?
Yeah.
Wrexham in the championship. They lost in PKs, I think, in an EFL game.
Well, they were up, I believe it was 2-1. Then they came back, ended up tying that game in the last second. And then their second game, they were down, I think it was 3-1 and scored two goals in the finals 10 minutes to tie the match.
Yep.
So not the ideal start, but also not the worst.
So it was against Southampton. They were up 1-0, and in the 90-plus extra time, Southampton came back and won.
Who was in the Premier League last year? So that would have been an amazing start to the championship for Wrexham.
And they damn near were 5 minutes away from making it happen. Folks, we have Premier League action coming up this weekend, this Friday. So 3 o'clock. Dame, are you in Friday? Yeah, you're going to be on the board.
Yep.
You're
Thursday and Friday, tomorrow and Friday.
You're going to be on the board the next 2 days, so you and I are going to be locked in. We're going to try to not be locked in, but we're going to be locked into Liverpool and Bournemouth 3 o'clock on Friday. Your Saturday slate, Villa and Newcastle, 7:30. Is Wissa going to go to Newcastle? Is Isak going to go to Liverpool?
He's like doing like a holdout. They both are.
I'm screwed. I have Wissa. What am I going to do? Start Pirlo for Leeds United? Mickey Mouse United?
For fantasy, you want him to stay at Bournemouth.
Yeah, or Brentford.
Or Brentford. That would be his team.
Brentford, because, you know. Well, if Isak goes, he could go to Newcastle. But, by the way, sports hate Newcastle. Sports hate Newcastle. They're trying to sell Isak for like £250 million.
They also have leverage, though.
Why? Because of the position and the lack of strikers? Now, I think they have leverage because it's a dead position. I mean, I'm sitting here wondering how Manchester United managed to overspend $85 million for Benjamin Sesko, but I realized that that's the going rate for a
striker. That was also Newcastle's fault because they drove up the price.
That's a going rate for the striker, though. But to try to sell Isak for over 200 million quid is insanity. Go take that garbage somewhere else. But Villa and Newcastle, 7:30. These are your Saturday slate. Villa and Newcastle, 7:30. Brighton and Fulham at 10. Sunderland and West Ham at 10. Your Tottenham Hotspur, who lost in PKs after they were up a damn goal in penalties. They're up 2-0.
Classic Tottenham.
Classic Tottenham. Don't matter who the manager is. They shouldn't have fired Big Ange Postecoglou. That was a mistake. But Tottenham and Burnley, 10 a.m. Wolves and City. Guardiola and Manchester City, 12:30, and then Sunday. This Sunday slate, folks, wow, something special. You got the London Derby between Chelsea and Palace at 9. Nottingham and Brentford, 9. Those are going to be the Peacock game is going to be Nottingham and Brentford, by the way. The one that's going to be on national telly at 9 is going to be Chelsea and Palace. The nationally televised game on Sunday, Manchester United and Arsenal. Dame, do my Red Devils have a chance that at home?
I think so. I'm actually...
Sesko won't play, though.
I'm pretty high on Manchester United this year.
Don't do that to me. I don't think Sesko plays. Does he play? He's been in practice for 4 days.
If he doesn't, are you going to start Hoyland?
You're going to see Skirtsy.
He's out, though. Isn't he injured? Has he been training?
Mickey Mount. I'm such a troll.
I would honestly,
Mason Mount, I call him Mickey Mount.
I would throw Sesko out there. I mean, you're a striker. You know what your job is.
Hoyland's on the outs, which
yeah, they told him.
I felt bad.
They told him you're either out of here or you're sitting the bench
kid,
the whole season.
That kid isn't Premier League material, but I feel for him, Dane, because it was Hoyland's dream club. It was, as a kid, he was a Manchester United fan.
A lot of the times that plays against you.
He dreamt of playing at the Theater of Dreams, and I blame United. Honestly, can I be honest? I blame us and how toxic the damn environment is. Watch him. He's linked with AC. Inter. He's linked with the Milans, folks. Both teams he's linked with. I guarantee you he goes back to Serie A and tears it up. I guarantee it. And then Monday, folks, your Monday fixture, Leeds and Everton. Dame and I will continue these conversations when we return. Got to talk about Tottenham bottling the Super Cup today. We got to go through your Lytle Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Farnworth injury report. This is Pink Smoke, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez on ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Inter Miami in action coming up against LA Galaxy this Saturday. We got you covered. Folks, we are home of the Inter. We are home of the Inter Miami Herons on the English side and the Spanish side. Damian Perez, my co-host and producer here on Pink Smoke. Welcome on back, folks. Damian will be on the pregame live starting at 6:30, 7:60 a.m. ESPN Deportes, and I will be live on the English side right here, ESPN 106.3, at 7 o'clock. We got you covered for everything Herons and Galaxy coming up on Saturday. With that said, it's time to get into the injury report for that game presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Now it's time for the Inter-Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it, won right back by Inter-Miami.
Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
Folks, that is foryourrights.com. Our great friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath have been serving South Florida and injured people for 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com. That is foryourrights.com. Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. All right, injury report, very simple. Lionel Messi, Alan Abando. I am not considering Drake Callender, Damian, because he is on his way out to Charlotte. About 95% sure that he will be out of an Inter-Miami jersey come this weekend. So Alan Abando and Lionel Messi. Obviously, folks, anytime Lionel Messi's not suiting up for the Herons, it's a big deal. In years past, it was, oh, is he playing? He's healthy, but he's not playing. This is ridiculous. Well, he's actually hurt with a hamstring injury, which happened against Necaxa. Early August, the second fixture in League's Cup, and it'll be 18 days, game day of Tigres. So the reason I'm bringing up the days is because hamstring injuries, all right, and Damian's had them. He's played big-time soccer. 2.5, 3 weeks. 18 days is 2.5 weeks. Tigres is a huge fixture for Inter-Miami. Knockout round of the quarterfinals in League's Cup. A trophy that Lionel Messi has won before. So I think he'll be back for that Tigres game. I don't think he's going to play against the LA Galaxy. Dame, you think he'll play about 20 minutes because of the news that he was practicing with the group over the week.
And I think it's also part of preparation. You know, it's the ideal situation is not coming off playing 90 minutes after an 18-week rest period. You know, with a player like Messi, it obviously doesn't matter, but it always helps. It always benefits when you can at least get 20 minutes of game time as part of your recovery.
And from my understanding this year, too, Messi wants to play these games. Mascherano got asked about why he's playing Messi so much. He's going, he wants to be in the lineup. He wants to play. I'm speculating, folks. I think in years past, Messi went, I'm good on playing this game. Like I said, speculating. Don't have sources. Don't know. I'm completely speculating on this. I think in years past where Messi didn't play in said games, it's because he didn't think that it was a game he needed to play in. As far as the MLS season, a cup game, Messi always plays in the must-win games. The must-win games is a Tigres game coming up on the 20th, 1 week ago from today, by the way, right? A week from today, correct. Tigres and Inter-Miami at Chase Stadium. This LA Galaxy game isn't a must-win. Now, maybe he might see it as that because of how bad the team played against Orlando City, and they're sixth on the MLS table.
That's a good point.
We'll get to that in a second, and when we go around the MLS with our good friends at Audi. But I think that's when Messi comes back. I think that's when Messi comes back is that Tigres game. 7 days from now, it'll be 2.5 weeks, and it'll be perfect timing after nursing that hamstring injury. But that was the injury report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Visit foryourrights.com. That's foryourrights.com. They've been serving injured people here in South Florida for 35 years. Alan Abando, Lionel Messi, your injured Herons heading into their fixture against LA Galaxy on Saturday. We've been talking about the Premier League starting up, folks. Premier League, the English Premier League starting up on Friday. You got Liverpool against, you could tell me, United fan, against Bournemouth. That game will be at Anfield, the home stadium for Liverpool, one of the more legendary places to watch a football game. But Damian, La Liga in action again this weekend, too.
Yeah, well, it's that time of the year. You know, it's not just we're right around the corner of NFL. We are right around the corner of all the soccer leagues. Now, I know we have... Basically, soccer's nonstop. You got in during the summer, we had the World Cup, the Club World Cup, but it's just something about those Premier League mornings, those La Liga mornings that kind of lead into the NFL day that is just the best time of the
year. Can I give you my perfect day?
Probably very similar to mine.
I'll give
but
you
go
my
ahead.
Perfect Saturday morning. obviously, you started off by listening to Saturday Tailgate Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez. But as I prep Saturday mornings, okay, game day, college game day. Before that, the 7 a.m. slate on Prem. I got game day. I got my 9 o'clock Premier League games. Hopefully Manchester United playing on Saturdays this year because we got one game a week because we pooped ourselves out of Europe. Rightfully so. Roll right into the Buckeyes.
That's right.
It's my perfect Saturday.
That's a 12 o'clock kickoff.
I hate the big noon. Don't even get me started. Fox ought to be ashamed of themselves for ruining the fixtures because of their ridiculous show. They try to compete with game day. Don't even get me started on that. It's an Ohio State guy. But yeah, that's my ideal Saturday. Watch my favorite football team right into my favorite football team. Perfect.
Like I said, very, very similar to mine.
Perfect.
Actually identical, to be honest. I'm checked out Saturday and Sunday. Unless it's for work or some production-based things, don't bother me.
Now, Inter-Miami, our Inter-Miami obligations go to November because the playoffs, I believe, when was our last? Now, listen, if the cup, if we make it all the way, and we hope our Herons do, probably late November, early December. So we'll have some conflicting things with Inter-Miami and our college football broadcasts. But regardless, football and football, my two favorite sports, definitely, to watch at least. I was the best at basketball. Just ask my varsity man. Varsity. You ever seen Invincible with Vince Papali story?
Of course.
The guy like that's trying out for the team. 3 years in high school, varsity. That's who I felt like there. That fat guy that was going to go try out for the Eagles. Folks, this is Pink Smoke, where we talk everything football, Inter Miami. Once again, we got our Herons doing battle against the LA Galaxy coming up at 7:30 this Saturday. We did our injury report presented by Vital Rider Smith, Ivy, and Farnworth. Visit foryourrights.com. Lionel Messi, Alan Abando, the two on the list. I don't expect Messi to play in this game. I expect him to play in Tigres. Damian thinks 20 minutes. When we come back, we'll go around the MLS and wrap up the show. This is Pink Smoke on ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Our final segment of Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter Miami, everything football. We did a little Messi Mania with our good friends at PNC. Went through the big storylines with Inter Miami, all the games. We're trying to wash out the memory of Orlando City. What are you talking about, Riz?
Who's that?
I had no idea. We did.
There's another team in Florida?
Yeah. No, not that I remember. We did the injury report presented by Vital Rider Smith, Ivy, and Farnworth. Lionel Messi still dealing with that hamstring injury. Our Herons playing the Galaxy coming up 7:30 Chase Stadium this Saturday. I do not think Messi is going to play. Damian thinks he'll get about 20 minutes before the big matchup. 1 week ago, or rather 1 week from today, the big matchup is Inter-Miami versus Tigres, the quarterfinal of League's Cup. Any other Mexican team I'd rather play than Tigres, by the way. Would you agree with that, me on that?
It's funny how that worked out because Inter-Miami qualified in second place out of four, which is ideally on paper, very good.
And they got the hardest team
from
Mexico.
But we got the hardest matchup.
It's unbelievable. Let's go around the MLS now, folks, presented by our good friends at Audi. What more from your drive? This is it. The all-new Audi Q5 with a sporty silhouette, dynamic handling, and responsive steering that makes every ride better than the last. An all-new interior with a digital stage with you in mind, the driver. Test drive the all-new 2025 Audi Q5 at your local South Florida Audi dealer or visit AudiUSA.com to learn more. That's AudiUSA.com to learn more. That is the all-new Audi Q5, Audi's best, made better. Let's take a look at that Eastern Conference and our Inter-Miami Herons. Sixth place, Dame, because Orlando, is that a city in Alabama?
Must be.
Some Orlando team that I don't remember is in fourth. Inter-Miami would have been at that spot if they would have beaten said team on Saturday, but instead, Orlando is there. Now, I keep saying this, Dame. The good news is Inter Miami still has three games to catch up on. Orlando City, Nashville, FC Cincinnati, and Philly. They've played 26 games. Now, Columbus has only played 25. They are ahead of our Herons as well. But Inter Miami sitting at 42 points, three games back from the Union, who are at 51. Dame, I only went to public school, but the last time I checked, 42-9 is 51.
Correct.
So put destiny that in perspective.
Destiny is in the hands of Inter Miami.
You got to win these 50. You got to win the MLS fixtures. And I brought up last segment, or rather, I just brought it up again. I didn't think Messi's going to play against the Galaxy because it's not necessarily a must-win fixture. Damien, is it a must-win fixture versus the Galaxy on Saturday?
No, it's not, and it's a favorable opponent. You know, LA Galaxy, we mentioned it in the first segment, dead last in the Western Conference. They had a horrible start to the season, but this month they've kind of turned things around. But being that they're last place in the Western Conference, I'm curious to see how much priority they will give the game against Inter Miami, taking into account that there's a midweek game for Leagues Cup that they're playing as well against Puebla on Wednesday.
Let's get you top nine teams in the Eastern Conference. Philadelphia, first place with 51 points. FC Cincinnati, second place with 49. Nashville, third place with 47. Orlando City, that team from Alabama we were talking about that we don't remember playing at all this year. Orlando City from Orlando. Fourth place, 44 points on the table. The Crew had the exact same amount of points at 44. The issue is with them, their goal differential is 5, while Orlando City out, 16. Orlando City is outscoring opponents at an alarming rate. So they're ahead of Columbus. So Columbus sitting at 5. Inter Miami at 6 with 42 points. Got to catch up on about 3 games. Charlotte, who Drake Callender, former Inter Miami goalkeeper, just recently got acquired by. They're in 7th place with 41 points. NYCFC, the always pesky NYCFC, sitting in 8th with 38 points. And then the Chicago Fire, I believe Greg Berhalter, the head coach there, former USA men's national coach, they are sitting in 9th place in the final playoff spot with 36. Now, on their heels are the New York Red Bulls. They have 36 points as well. But I mentioned, if you have the same amount of points, it goes to goal differential. And right now, one goal, how about that, Dame? One goal separates and New York Red Bulls and Chicago Fire from playoff football. So something to look out for as we inch closer to the end of the season. On the Western Conference table, 1-9, San Diego in first place with 49, Vancouver in second place with 45. In third place, Minnesota United sitting with 44. The Seattle Sounders, who have been on a heck of a run recently, they haven't lost a game in their last 5. They're in fourth place with 41. LAFC has had a surge as of late, too. They are sitting in 5th with 37 points. Portland in 6th with the same amount of points. How about Portland? Portland with 37 points have a -1 goal differential. A -1 goal differential. That is the, by the way, in the Eastern Conference, no team with a negative goal differential in the playoffs. There are 2 teams with negative goal differentials in the playoffs on the Western, or excuse me, 3 teams. I'm at your mercy. Portland. So Portland in 6th, 37 points. Austin FC in 7th with 34. The Colorado Rapids in 8th with 33. All 3 of those teams have negative goal differentials. And then you get, how about San Jose? Dame, San Jose free-falling. They're in 9th with a +4 goal differential with 32 points. So those are your teams that would be playoff-bound right now on the Western Conference side in the MLS.
They wouldn't be in the Eastern Conference, though, worth noting.
Correct. The final spot, as I mentioned, 36 points for the Eastern Conference. The final spot on the West is 32. So Austin, Colorado, and San Jose would all not be in the playoffs on the Eastern Conference side. Very top-heavy in the West. Dame, San Diego's been fantastic.
What a story San Diego is.
Real honest to God, nobody had them here. Nobody had them here.
This is their first season, if I'm not mistaken.
At this moment in time, no one had San Diego at this position. I mean, it's reminiscent of St. Louis a little bit, right? In their inaugural season, yep. St. Louis had a fantastic year and went to playoffs their first year. San Diego is trying to do the same exact thing in their first year on that Western Conference side. By the way, St. Louis, 21 points, a disappointing team in the MLS so far. Kind of the poopers. How about that? The poopers in the MLS this year. Montreal, the teams that are still in the teens, by the way, with about public school math. We're about 35 games played so far. Or, sorry, 35, Mike. 26 games played so far. Montreal with 19 points. DC United with 19. Dude, the Galaxy is laughable. I hate to laugh. But, my God, the LA Galaxy has been miserable
defending
in MLS
champ.
Play.
Defending, yeah. Defending champ, LA Galaxy.
Also, who wanted to represent the MLS at the FIFA Club World Cup. Thank God that wasn't the case. Can you imagine? Ugh.
Well, to their credit, they did advance in League's Cup.
No. No credit. They'd get bamboozled by Porto. Team the Herons beat.
And they would have took LAFC spot, correct?
Yeah, and they were a disgrace.
They didn't make it out the group.
They were a disgrace. Didn't win a game. Same with Portland. Seattle, all of them were disgraces. Shame on them. Shame on them. Folks, you hear that music, that means it's time for us to go. That was around the MLS with our good friends at Audi. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. We'll catch up with you next Wednesday, hoping to talk about a big Inter-Miami win. We'll be live on the English and Spanish side with play-by-play Saturday against the Galaxy. Everyone have a great night. Bye.